Well, lots changed since last October, and how we thank the Lord for that. Had some natural births, quite a few of them. Thank the Lord for that. Had some spiritual births. Thank the Lord for that. So it should be a different meeting this year between the babies crying and the babies whining. It should be different. And so hopefully those newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, they may grow thereby. And that's what God certainly desires for them. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. Pastor gave me a choice to do Sunday school, and I always wrestle with that because I don't want you to get up here and just say words, but I felt like the Lord got me up this morning and pressed something upon my heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and then we'll look at this one other place, and we'll go into the mysteries of God. He says in this, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. And then he said this, and stewards of the mystery of God. And then he said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So what is he faithful in? The mysteries of God. And I hear a lot of stewardship messages, and they just kind of forget this part.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Stewards over your finances, stewards over God's finances, stewards over missions, stewards over giving. But you realize all that falls into place if you're stewards over what God requires you to be stewards of, and that is really, to be honest, a caretaker of the Word of God. That's for every saved person. He said, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, I'm teaching this morning, and I don't want you to think I'm boasting, but I am probably more advanced than most of you in mysteries. There's so many things I don't understand. And so I have excelled in mysteries. So I thought I'd teach on mysteries this morning because there's a lot of things I just don't get. They're truth, I just don't know what they mean. And that's really what a mystery is. It's a truth that's not yet understood. If you rode a mystery train or went to a mystery show or read a mystery novel, there's a whodunit. And the whodunit is the truth. It's just trying to get to the bottom of the truth. That truth has now been revealed to us. The Apostle Paul then in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 2. He said we'll start in verse 1. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and then notice what he says, and understand all mysteries. So what does that stewardship require? Not that just we know the mysteries, but that we understand those mysteries. And so I want to look at a few of them today and give you my feeble best understanding. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 19 mysteries we found in the New Testament that have been explained. So if we take 1.5 minutes each, we should be done in time. So no, I'm just going to look over some of these. You also have the same ability I do. Get King James Bible online on your phone. And go on there and search for the word mystery, click New Testament only, and scroll down into the epistles, and you'll find these. It's very simple. So we'll miss some of these, but I want to just touch on a few. And again, challenge us to stewardship of these mysteries. I'm going to skip the mystery of the Gentiles, and let's go to Romans 16. And the reason I skipped that is because it's really kind of a sticking point with me. And for so long, I'd hear guys preach a Jews first gospel. Jews first. They'd say, well, you know, take the Jew first, and they still practice that today, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. And the problem with that is then they lose sight of all men everywhere that they would come to repentance. And the other problem with that is there's always an attempt to raise funds. And I just kind of choked at that a little bit. And they'd say, well, to the Jew first. And by the way, you know, our ministry is to the Jew first. I say, okay, well, never mind. But anyway, so of course the Jews will be grafted back in. He told us that. It's one of the mysteries he explains. That's in Romans 11 for those of you that would like to look at that. But in Romans 16 and verse 25, he says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory throughout Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So again, he tells us that the prophets told us of these things. They were just mysteries. They didn't have that understanding. And of course, when Jesus Christ opened the understanding of his apostles in Luke 24, he opened their understanding that they might understand all things concerning him, both in the prophets and, of course, well, both, I guess all three, rather, but in the law, the prophets, and in the Psalms. He opened their understanding. And so he closed out the book of Romans and tells us that we have all understanding of these things. There is no excuse to not understand. It's the revelation of the mystery. And so God has given us explanation of those things aforetime, which were kept in secret. God hid this, and that was God's choice to hide that. The fact that you and I as Gentiles can sit in the house of the true and the living God and hear the word of God preached was a mystery before time. They did not understand that. Yet God has always extended grace. We see that in the lives of Rahab, Ruth, and others. He extended mercy, I guess you would say, as well as grace unto the Gentiles. But you and I today are in what we would call a church of Gentiles. You may have some Jewish blood. I'm probably about 1/64th Jew, but I don't tout that, and I don't go around with my, you know, Davidic signs and robes on. But many of us here, most of us for the most part, are Gentiles. And that's one of those mysteries that God hid. But now through the revelation of these mysteries, you and I can understand the things of which we'll speak again this morning. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and take a look at the first one of these I'd like to touch on with the Lord's help this morning. We'll just go until about the bells ring and we'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 4, he says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom," and again, over and over, he tells us this, "which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So again, he references scripture. He references this mystery of wisdom. And he said, not the wisdom of this world, but it's the wisdom of God in a mystery. "But I, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." God was going to make manifest his word to us. He was going to reveal the word of God to us by his Spirit. And Jesus Christ had to resurrect to do that. It was expedient for us that he depart. He did depart. He has returned to his Father. He's in glory. But he said, I will not leave you comfortless. He did not leave us comfortless. He sent another comforter. And he tells us here that the Spirit is who's going to give us wisdom. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And that's the scripture that we could not understand or would not have understood. These things were hidden with God. Yet God hath revealed the deep things of God to us, if we're willing to see them. And he says, by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Now that's something that all men can comprehend. All men can grasp. There's things concerning a man that every man understands. They're pragmatic at best, meaning they show a value to man. He can understand them because it benefits him. It's a profit to him. But these things are spiritually discerned. These have been hidden from men until God reveals them by his Spirit. And God does that to the children of God. And again, going back to stewardship, I believe a lot of it ties in with stewardship because there's a lot of people that have a stewardship, but it's not the stewardship that God calls us unto. There's a stewardship over the physical things. Men can understand that. The spirit of man can lead us in that. There's a stewardship over the logistical things of life. And again, the spirit of man can reveal that to us. The most common man in here can understand the logistical things. We have to have heat. Well, we don't have to have heat. It's preferable to have heat. We do need a place to assemble. It doesn't have to be in this building. You can assemble under the trees out back. But again, the lack of heat and different things like that, eventually it becomes pragmatic to have a building. And so there are men that will have stewardship over the building and over the logistics of the building, the finances of the building. Yet it's the spiritual things that God reveals to them by his spirit. He doesn't reveal them to the natural man. And that's why there's two types of people, basically, in most churches. There's folks that understand and like the idea of having a local church in the sense of there's a building, there's a place we can go out of the wind and out of the rain, and we can assemble together, and we can have a meal, and we can join ourselves together, and we see our friends, and it's a good time of fellowship, and we go home, and what a wonderful day it was. We saw our friends again. The sun was shining, we went home, the birds were chirping. Surely God has smiled upon us. That's the average person. But it's between those things that God's trying to reveal to us the hidden things of God, the deep things of God. But he said this, they are spiritually discerned. I've got to be really careful here, but there's at one point in the week, I was speaking of that spirit of slumber. And I simply made mention of, there's just some people in churches you go to that every single service, the same person falls asleep at the same time, and they stay asleep until the amen. And there's a gentleman visiting, he's a visiting pastor, and I want to be careful because his daughters are here, and his son is here, but there's a visiting pastor in the service, and I said that, and he just yelled, amen. It's the only amen he gave me all service. And he experiences that often. And yet, you know, oh, what a great time we had at the house of God. Well, what did you do? Right. We sang songs, we took up an offering, we had AC and heat and lights, and it's wonderful. Anyone can understand those things. But to understand the things of God, or things that are spiritually discerned, this was something that had never before been understood. How that God indwelling that man or indwelling that woman can give them light unto Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, this isn't just drudgery. This isn't formality. This isn't just going through the motions. This isn't liturgy. This is the living word of God. It breathes. It lives. It indwells us. It stirs within us. It gets inside of us and causes us to respond on the inward parts. No one understood that until that mystery was revealed in Jesus Christ. And can I say to you, I don't want to say no one, few understood that. That would be better, because David understood it. The psalmist understood it. Isaiah understood it. Elijah understood it. Moses understood it. But not like we do. There were things God revealed to them that God revealed to them through his word that they've revealed to us through the word of God, yet these mysteries were hidden from even them. Things they did not see. Secondly, let's look at two parts of this. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. There's a couple places here the Word of God deals with this. Again, truth is now going to reveal our stewardship over these truths. Let's start in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. It's quite a mighty sentence. But yet again, it's also a revelation of that mystery. The mystery of his will. He had not completely given his will to men. Now his will has been revealed in Jesus Christ. There's no secret to what the will of God is. And if we're blind to the will of God, ignorant to the will of God, it's because we're not seeking what God's will is. Amen. There are some things that are just absolutes. There are some things that are just absolutely clear. It is God's will you not fornicate. It is God's will you present your body a living sacrifice. We understand many of those things. But even beyond that, it's his will that he is going to gather all things unto himself. That's in his will. So what is our purpose in that? He said that we should be the praise of his glory. Who first trusted in Christ? Again, if we'll be the praise of his glory, a lot of these things will just fall into place. If we bring glory to Jesus Christ, a lot of this stuff will just follow along with it. But I watch people floundering in the works without his glory. They're trying to obtain without pleasing him. And yet, if this comes to pass in your life and it becomes part of your life, you will bring glory to God through your life, then you'll have your part in his goodwill. As stewards, we steward this mystery. But then we go on in Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 3. Actually, I'm starting verse 2. And ye have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That's the promise of God. That's a mystery that's now been revealed. The Gentiles are fellow heirs with Israel, the seed of Abraham, and of the same body, which is Christ, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And the Apostle Paul says, whereof I was made a minister, that's part of his role in this, as being a minister of Jesus Christ, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me, by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Glory to God. Amen. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So again, we see this mystery explained. We see this mystery that's been hid in God, in Christ Jesus, since the world began, has now been revealed. That God is going to make us fellow heirs with Jesus Christ, with Israel. And then that God is going to give this grace, even unto Gentiles, that they also might preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I like what he said, who am less than the least of all saints. The Apostle Paul said he was the chief of sinners. That God would take a Gentile, unworthy, the least of all, the lowest of the low, seat him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, wash him from his sins, cleanse him by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that God, by his own grace, would put that man under the hand of Almighty God to be a minister of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's probably why it was a mystery. Because the Jews wouldn't have liked that very much. They would have choked at that. Them? Edomites? Samaritans, They are going to preach. The sons of Japheth are going to preach. They're going to have the same grace that we have. Yet it's been revealed, and God did it by the church. That manifold wisdom of God is revealed. And by the way, when you really can grasp those verses and put your, I mean, if you can get half of 1% of what those verses really hold, it'll change what you think about church. It will no longer just be us four no more. It will no longer just be us going through the motions of religion, practicing our religious duty. No, when you understand that God is going to reveal these things, his manifold wisdom is going to be revealed to principalities and powers in heavenly places by the body of Christ, this body, it'll change your practice of religion, if you will. Because that mystery has been revealed. And it's part of that stewardship is to have stewardship over that mystery. One of the great failures today is the men have lost sight of that. And the church is everything but a purveyor of truth. Yeah. It's everything but the pillar and ground of the truth. It is social. It is playtime. It is family oriented. It is fellowship based. It's exciting. It stimulates the senses. It is physically attractive to people. Can I say, big ministry is a draw. This must be successful. Look at the size of the ministry. We have one in Chambersburg. They take up all the city blocks downtown. And, well, we got a brother up in Lebanon who's being fined by the city for not repairing their sidewalk. And it's $30,000 because it's a commercial building. You have to have commercial zoning and commercial permits and to put a new sidewalk the whole way around the church. Our big booming church in Chambersburg, they loan out their parking lots to the city when they're not using it on Sundays. And therefore, they can build what they want, do what they want. They've taken over a city block and a half. Everybody goes, yes, where do you go to church? This is where we go to church. And yet you even look on their website and it's Sis Bamboo, it's social. There's 100 events a week. It's chili cook-offs and bake-offs and times of fellowship and small group Bible studies and small cells and interaction and daycare and playground and puppy night and motorcycle night and gangster night and Kanye night and everything else under the sun. But there's no truth. You drive by and say, why are they booing? Every time we go to Wellsville, we'll go by the big Bible church out there on the way to Wellsville. There'll be Sunday morning, there'll be 100, 150 cars in the parking lot. But there's no truth. They've lost sight of that. Yet God has revealed it to the simple. He's confounded the minds of the wise. He's given it to men with low education. He's given it to men with low morality. Amen. He's given it to men with absence of character. He's given it to men with absence of spirituality. He's given it to men to hold those mysteries in stewardship. And he's done it in the church. He's done it by the church. And we need to hold that stewardship. Part of the reason I said all that is because we're in a day when, you know, a man cannot be qualified to preach lest he meet the qualifications. And I recently was talking with a pastor, and he was looking at a chaplaincy position, and it required an earned doctorate of divinity. You couldn't call Manila and get one. You had to have an earned doctorate of divinity. You had to have at least 400 hours of practical, what they call sustainable education, certificates from different counseling classes and things after that. And then you also had to have at least 15 years, you know, either full-time on a staff of a ministry of a church, that's all they said, you know, or you had to be a professor, you know, at a college, and then you could have this chat. And I asked him, I said, well, what kind of chaplaincy? It was an entire hospital system. And he said, you would be the head of the chaplaincy. He said, I suspect it pays well over six figures. He said, just the position, what you read and the requirements. And so I relate the story to him. I remember I'd been to the church when I was in Hawaii, and they were looking for a pastor later on. I'd gone to their website, was just kind of curious about some things, and they were looking for a pastor. And I looked at their requirements are very similar to that. And I thought, well, you know, they will find somebody, sure enough. They will find somebody who's looking for a big salary, but it would confound their minds to find out there's men that haven't graduated high school, that don't have any college degree, and don't have an education, and don't have grammar, and don't speak well, and don't dress well. They may not even smell well. But they know God.
That's right.
Amen.
And they can preach in a manifestation of the power of God.
Amen.
In the church. Before, that would have been unacceptable. Now, that's no excuse to smell bad, to be uneducated, to be ignorant. I don't play the "we're just poor country folk" bit. And I learned long ago down the South, poor country folk mean we're feeding you junk, but we're not selling our four-wheel drive to feed you better. Amen. Just throwing that out there. Oh, we just poor country folk. I'm like, well, poor country folk got swimming pools and three vehicles. I'm just, you know, I'll leave that alone. Amen. Oh, I'm just a poor country preacher, you know, and plays golf every two Saturdays and diamond rings. I'm just a poor country preacher. Yeah, I'd like to be a poor country preacher sometimes. Amen. I'll leave that alone. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we'll be here all day if we get into this too much. But I'll just read my life verse. Why? Verse 22. And then we'll dismiss after I read my life verse. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Amen. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it, ladies? Say amen, ladies. Help me. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? The easiest thing for you sanctified ladies to do, submit yourselves unto a foul, vile, stinky, wretched, angry man. Pretty tough, isn't it? That's what God said to do. But then that same man, the Word of God goes on a little bit, and he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. He builds this relationship for us. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. As a king has subjects, so a father has subjects, a husband has subjects. His wife and his children, they'll be subject unto him. What does that mean? They do what he tells them to do. That's what the Word of God says. He's not a tyrant. Because he goes on and says, husbands, love your wives. Even as, and by the way, that's not in plurality. Just in case there's one here, that's not plurality. Wives, it's talking about us husbands in plural. Love your wives. Each one of you have one. Okay, I just want to throw that out there. Just in case somebody looking for an excuse. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And again, it's probably a lot easier to follow a husband that loves you as much as he loves himself and as much as Christ loved the church. Probably a whole lot easier to follow him, but not necessarily. Because you're still flesh and bone, your carnal devices and your carnal ways. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So again, what does the church do? It submits itself to Jesus Christ. As he loved the church and gave himself for it, so that church is subject to him. The church doesn't pick and choose what they believe or what they want to believe or pick and choose what is taught or what is practiced. No, the church, the body, is subject to Jesus Christ. What he says, it goes. And I realize, listen, a lot of us came out of dead religion. And dead religion programs us to everything but what a church is. It tells us everything but what a true church is. But can I say to you, if you'll grasp this Sunday school to be a stewardship over the mysteries of Jesus Christ, over the mysteries of the Word of God, and hold these mysteries and hold the church accountable to these mysteries and hold families accountable to these mysteries, hold husbands accountable to these mysteries, that we'd have stewardship over these, I believe a lot of things would change. But you see, most folks really don't have any idea what a church is. They've been told it's everything but what God wants a church to be. He says a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. So people say, well, does that mean I need to leave the church? Well, probably. But why don't we just go ahead and try to clean up a little bit? Amen. Let's just try to iron some of this out. Okay. Amen. You know, a lot of, I don't want to attack you personally if it's you, but I know there's a lot of folks who use wrinkle removers and wrinkle creams and, you know, just all of these, they're trying to get rid of those wrinkles, trying to get rid of those. There's only one way to get rid of them, and I hate to tell you what it is. Amen. And that's when you get a new body. So we'll just leave it at that. Amen. It's a glorious church. It's going to present to the Father without spot or wrinkle. He says, be holy without blemish. So ought men. Well, wait a minute here. We're talking about the church. This is going to hurt. He said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it, or nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. People scratching their head. It's a great mystery. I don't understand this. Very simply, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's the mystery that's been revealed. Again, our stewardship is to hold the church in that relationship. We come in the house of God. There's going to be formalities. I've watched too many churches over the years who just say, we're just minding the Lord. Y'all ever hear that? We're just going to mind the Holy Spirit, they say. And then they do the same thing every service. And you're going, it's a little confusing. You know what they say? We're going to mind the Lord. And every third Sunday, Sister So-and-so gets up and sings her special. And every fourth Sunday, they do something. We're just going to mind, So they say, but we're not formal. Well, there's always going to be a little bit of formality as far as in the assembly, because there does need to be decency and order. We know that according to the Word of God. And all things will be done. There's not to be people just up blurting out stuff and prophesying from the pews and yelling stuff out. And I've been in those places too. I've been in some places that were kind of insane. But nobody's talking about is this body as a whole. Not just when we assemble together, but this body, when we depart this building, is still a body. It's still a church. Amen. And to hold that in stewardship. Husbands, to hold your family under that candle of the Lord, that light of God, searching you out, and to hold your family right there where God wants them to be. That they would too also not only submit to you and be subject to you. And again, it's easier to be subject to someone that's not a tyrant.
Right.
You know when revolutions start? Under tyranny. You know when revolutions culminate? Under absolute dictatorship. But you know when you find a pleasant kingdom? Well, not Rehoboam's kingdom, but it was Solomon's kingdom. Rehoboam was a tyrant. Abused the people, they despised him for. God rent the kingdom away from him because of it. We men ought to examine ourselves in that in light of this mystery. But then also, because let's just say this, ladies, this is not a slight to you. But the cornerstone of this church is built on the men of this church. The strength of this church comes from the men of this church. And the strength of the ladies comes from their subjection to those men. You find a strong woman, you find a woman that's subject to her husband. That's not me being ugly.
Right.
You know, it's like teaching parenting. People go, well, when your children are raised, call me. Well, I'll probably be too old, won't care. But the reality is, it's the Word of God.
Come on. Good.
It's what God said.
Right.
So he gives us this illustration because, I don't know about you men, I can understand this pretty good. I don't have to flounder in this and go, well, you know, I don't think that's really what that means. Or, you know, let me run to the Greek real quick and see what this, maybe this will help me out a little bit here. Oh, that word there, subject, well, that means, you know, that's something, you know, no, we just take it at face value.
Right.
And if we would love our wives as much as we love ourselves, and if she would subject herself to us as rulers of our home. And that, what is a ruler? It's that device where it's measured.
That's right.
You see my children, you see my wife, they're a direct reflection of me. And if I don't like that reflection, you know, I can't beat it out of them. Talking about the children, clarify that. So if I don't like that reflection, I better change me.
That's right. Come on.
That's right.
And that's why he's going to have a glorious church.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Because
the bridegroom's perfect.
Right.
The bridegroom is holy.
Right.
The bridegroom is pure. The bridegroom has established a rule whereby the church subjects herself, and it's a holy rule. Well, let's get off that. I liked it okay, though. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. He says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Colossians chapter 1, let me just touch on this. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. Whereof, and you notice this word is all through these, minister, minister, minister. That's all saints. To be addicted to the ministry of the saints, what does that minister do? He meets the needs of God's people. And I will say, whatever it be. But more than anything else, he meets the spiritual needs. And ladies, you meet the spiritual needs of God's people. Minister. We're called to be ministers of this truth. The Apostle Paul goes on in verse 26, or this is verse 25, where am I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, and now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you.
Amen.
The hope of glory.
Amen.
What a wonderful mystery.
Sure is.
Can I say on this wise? It's still a mystery to me. I don't understand it, but I do believe it.
Yeah, that's right.
I woke up this morning, and I don't always wake up this early, but I woke up, the Lord woke me up fairly early this morning. And I came downstairs, and I was cognizant of a tangible presence within my soul.
Yeah, good.
And when I opened the Word of God, I was cognizant of a relationship with the Heavenly Father.
Praise God.
And I'm not tooting my horn. I hope you had this too.
Amen.
I sat down on the couch and I was going to read a chapter, and the Lord had, all of a sudden, very clearly from within, spoke to my heart and said, you pray for so-and-so.
That's right.
Amen. And you pray for so-and-so.
That's right.
And you pray for so-and-so. And in my heart, I prayed for people that God put upon my heart.
Good.
You know what that is? That's Christ in us.
Amen.
A mystery never before been revealed, never before been seen, that God would dwell in men and they in him.
Amen.
I've used the illustration many times, been rebuked for it, preached against for it, never bothered me one bit. But I've said many times in this very pulpit, preached it too many times, but how do you know when God moves in? Well, the same way you knew you got married. Everything changes. Hallelujah. How do you know God moved in? Well, my clothes changed. Amen. My manner of living changed. My bedtime changed. You can just go ahead and say amen on that, you late night internet junkies. My bedtime changed. My attitude changed. Now I want you to look here. My decor in my home drastically changed.
Yeah.
When God moved in. It went from 0 to 100. Amen. You say, what was your decor? Man decor. I decorated like a man decorates. And men don't decorate. Amen. That's right. Amen. I don't decorate now. I pound nails. I run screws. I hang stuff. I climb ladders. But I don't decorate. And God forbid I try. I hang something on the hook. I do it to antagonize my wife. Good. Thank the Lord. I do it to antagonize my wife sometimes. And about 2 days later, what is that doing there? I thought it looked nice. Amen. How do I know my wife moved in? Because everything's different. How do you know God dwells in you? How do you know that that work of God inwardly, that he dwells in you and works in you and speaks in you, how do you know that? Because it's all different.
That's right.
I rolled over this morning. There's my wife. I came downstairs. There's my Lord. I'll go to bed tonight, say goodnight to my wife, roll over my bed, say goodnight to my Lord.
Right.
It's all changed.
Yeah.
It was a mystery. Never understood. Never been revealed. And then God revealed it to us. Christ in you. The hope of glory.
Amen.
What a wonderful mystery.
Yes.
Let me just run through these. I know a couple of you taking notes. Colossians 2, verse 2 and 3. The mystery of God. When you figure that one out, call me. Colossians 4 and 3. The mystery of Christ. What a wonderful mystery. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7. The mystery of iniquity. And by the way, we're also to hold that as stewards as well. Those things which are to come. That spirit of Antichrist is working in this world today. The fact that men that receive strong delusions are going to be left behind, is we need to hold that in stewardship. The mystery of faith, 1 Timothy 3 and 9. 1 Timothy 3 and 16. Listen, I've studied that for years. And I'm almost up to about 0.25% of what that really means. The mystery of godliness. What a wonderful mystery. It was manifest in the flesh. But wait, when you understand that one, then you move on to the next one. Amen. I would say 25 years, I don't fully understand that one, but I believe it.
Amen.
He was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ came and dwelt among us.
That's right.
He came to his own received him not. It's manifest that way. And then in Revelation, John had three mysteries. This mystery of the seven stars, and again, that's a mystery concerning the church. The mystery of God is finished, Revelation 10 and 7. By the way, you look at the mystery of God, then you can look at the mystery of God is finished, and you begin to run that. Those of you that are walking with God, those of you trying to seek relationship with God, you'll find some things in there pretty interesting. That mystery of God is finished. And by the way, that's a pretty scary thing for lost people. But the saints of God is rejoicing. Amen. There's no more mystery. God's fully revealed. In the fullness of time, God is going to fully reveal himself to man. And then Revelation 17 and 7, the mystery of the woman and of the beast. Just some of the mysteries challenge us in Sunday school to stewardship. Father, I want to thank you for this hour. I do pray you bless it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.